Please return with me to Philippians chapter 1. And we'll read again verses 21 and 22. Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me." Especially those words, "to live is Christ," and "if I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me." Now, so continue going through the different stages of life as a theme in our Sunday morning services. We've come after the middle age crisis last week, we've come to retirement. Now, last week I was an expert in the subject of middle age crisis, but this week I'm now in territory that I'm not familiar with, and I was thinking about it. It's something I still never think about, retirement, so I'm sure, God sparing, the time will come. But I want to ask this morning, in what way would the Lord Jesus have us, as Christians, think about retirement? Retirement is something that the state provides for, and sometimes our employers provide for as well, where you stop paid work, maybe through a work pension, and you maybe do that at a stage earlier than the official retiring age, or with a state pension, perhaps also a work pension, you can retire at 65 if you're a man. And the age for women is going up. In 2018, it will be 65 for women as well. And the intention of the government is that within a couple of decades, it will be 68 for both men and women. So just something to look forward to. You can't catch up with the retiring age. It's getting away further away than you can, faster than you can catch it. But it's a funny thing, retirement, because it's a new thing in human life. If you look through history, there's really no such a thing as retirement until you come to the Industrial Revolution and you have big industrial complexes where bosses are looking for productivity. They're looking for efficiency. And they look around and they see the elderly people in their workforce perhaps not able any longer to be as efficient and productive. And so they are laying them off. And the state realizes that it has to do something to support these elderly people, and it starts providing what becomes known as a pension. And gradually that becomes seen not just as a sort of safety net, but actually as a right. And nowadays pension is seen as a right, and it's something that is regarded very much as part of the overall plan of life. But it's a relatively new thing in human history. In the Bible, well, you really won't find retirement. What happens in the Bible is that, of course, people have a lower life expectancy. So you stopped work, really, when you were either too sick to work or when you died. But if you weren't able to work, then it was the family that was expected to provide, or your community. And in the New Testament times, the church also provided for those who couldn't provide for themselves. And if you're to look for the word retirement in the Bible, I think the only place you would find it would be in the book of Numbers, chapter 8, where the NIV describes older priests, Levites, retiring to let the younger priests come up and take their place. So at 50, the older Levites were to retire and let the younger priests come up and take their place. But the fact is that all the priests were supported by the community, the state of Israel. So it wasn't really like retirement. It was just more like they were letting the younger men take over and assisting the younger men doing that. But anyway, we're here today in a society which has a view that life has three stages. There is training, there is work, and then there is retirement. So you prepare for work, Then you work, you have your career, you have your working life, and then you retire and hopefully have some time to enjoy with that. And if you think about that view and the way people approach it today, first of all, retirement is seen as something that people really long for because it's seen as a time of leisure. And so it's a kind of goal of life that we have leisure, time to spend. And retirement is going to be great because there's lots of leisure. But also in that way of thinking, there's a lot of an attitude that says that work is what makes you important. Work is what gives you status. And actually, our society, Britain, is only behind America in what we would call workaholism. We find in Britain, for example, in the 65 to 69 age bracket, still 10% of the workforce is working. And the only country for which that's higher in the world is the US. So there's an attitude that leisure is the great goal of life. Work is what gives you status. And efficiency and productivity are the things that are really important. And so what you get often in the workplace is employers perhaps not really showing the right care for the older people in their workforce, and you get what is often called today ageism. That is a prejudice against the older working man or woman. So it's not entirely a rosy picture. And retirement, when you come to it, of course, is a time of great change. I did a wee bit of research, asked one or two people about retirement and what their view of it was. So I get an idea, and I did a bit of reading, of course, as well. For some, the view of retirement is almost like being let out of prison, so that you can devote yourself to the things that you want to do. Watch the telly, or do the crossword, or do the garden, or go fishing, or go walking, or travel. And you have the phenomenon of the grey nomad, who travels the world in retirement. And there's a little ditty which kind of sums up the attitude. Happy days are here at last. The days of 9 to 5 are past. I've worked through life and paid my dues. I'm free to do just what I choose. That's a view of retirement. But just step back a minute and think, well, doesn't that sound a wee bit like the parable of the rich fool that Jesus told? What happened in the parable of the rich fool? Well, he kind of had worked hard, filled his barns. If you like, he'd provided a retirement fund for himself. And now he retires. And he says, soul, you've got many goods laid up for many years to come. Eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to do what I please now. I'm going to retire. And God comes to him, Jesus says, and says, you fool. You fool. This night, your soul will be required of you. That's a warning if the attitude that we have to retirement is, now it's the time that I get to do what I want. Jesus says, that's not what life is about. Not doing what you want. On the other hand, for some people, retirement is a difficult time because they found their self-worth through working. Work was their identity. And when suddenly they don't have work, they feel they're on the rubbish heap. They don't have any status anymore. May not know what to do anymore. And may find it very hard to be at home all the time. And their spouse may find it very hard to have them at home all the time. And as Isabel hinted at when I was speaking to the children, retirement is when you give up full-time work and become your spouse's full-time job. And that can be the reality of retirement too. So it's not always an easy time. And of course, there may be for people financial challenges. It probably means for most people a big drop in their weekly income. It's also often a time of ill health, particularly if work was your thing and work was what provided your physical and your emotional and your mental stimulus. Often people, when they stop working, because the adrenaline isn't flowing anymore, they become ill. and they get serious illness and often depression as well. So retirement can be a time when people think I'm out of prison, it's freedom, but it can also be a time when people feel, who am I? What do I do now? And it can be a time of decline. So for some people in retirement, it's a time when people just mooch about. And for other people, it's the old adage, I don't know where I found time to do my work. I'm so busy now. And they're the whoopers. They whoop it up. So there's some retire and they're moochers, and some are whoopers. I wonder if you could class yourself, if you're retired here today, as a moocher or a whooper. Yeah, I'm not saying you're one or the other. You might be something else. What does Paul have to say to us this morning? Because his attitude is really challenging. I mean, if you took Paul overall, I think Paul would say, work is fine, leisure is fine, but neither work nor leisure are what give life its value. And in this letter of Philippians, he sets before us Jesus coming into the world. This is in chapter 2 of Philippians. And verse 7, he made himself nothing and he took the very nature of a servant. And as you read through Paul's letters, you will find that this is the attitude that Paul says is the one to have. The attitude of servant. In Paul's vision of life, it's what we can do for others and what we can do for God that give life, our lives, their value. We can serve Jesus and we can serve others. Whatever stage of life we're at, whether we're in training for work, whether we're working, whether we're retired. And there's no sense that Paul is either a moocher or a whooper. Because in Paul's mind, I think both of them would be seen as selfish. The moochers are selfish because they're absorbed with their own misery. And the whoopers are selfish because they're absorbed with their own pleasure. What's Paul then? He's neither a moocher nor a whooper. Paul is, at this time, roughly about 60 years old. And he's under arrest, and he's in chains. He tells us that, for example, in verse 12, he's been arrested. And verse 13, he's under the palace guard. They're looking after him, and he's in chains for Christ. And it's probably the imprisonment that we read about at the end of the book of Acts. And Paul is expecting a final verdict. Remember, he'd appealed to Caesar, and you would either, if you appealed to Caesar, be set free, if Caesar decided that was what should happen, or you'd be killed. And Paul, as you can see, for example, in verse 20, is expecting a final verdict. I eagerly expect that I'll no way be ashamed of sufficient courage, that now as well as Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. He's got a life-death decision awaiting him at the hands of Caesar. But he's expecting that the decision will be favourable. Verse 19, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And in verse 24, he says, it's more necessary for me to remain, more necessary for you rather, that I remain in the body. And convinced of this, I know I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. So Paul's attitude is that he's a servant and he's awaiting this life-death decision, but he's thinking he's going to be set free, and if he is set free, what's he going to do? Well, for many people, perhaps the attitude would be, well, if I get out of this prison alive, that's it. I've had enough. Once I get out of this lousy prison, I'm going to retire. I'm in my 60s. I've earned it. I deserve it. I'm tired. Time to finish my work, my life's work. Time to invent a game to play in which perhaps I hit a little white ball with a stick and try and get it into a small hole. But that's not Paul. That really isn't Paul. Paul says in verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ." And in verse 22, "If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour." And there's a great scripture to meditate upon if you're retired, or if you're thinking about retirement, but actually for any stage in life. "If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me." Paul is saying, as far as I'm concerned, there isn't retirement. As far as I'm concerned, as long as I'm alive, I will bear fruit in labour for Jesus. Fruitful labour. I would like to think that that would describe my retirement, if I live long enough to experience it. How about your retirement? Fruitful labour. Because it strikes me that most people, when they reach retirement age, have got a tremendous amount to offer. Often these days, with the longevity of people in this country, people are still very fit, and they're also usually financially secure. So they're fit, they're secure, but they haven't got work to go to every day, so they're available to offer themselves in a way that they had never been available before. And hopefully, the Christian man or woman who's retired has served God in the workplace, has already got a habit of fruitful labour in the workplace. They served their employer, or if they were employers themselves, they served their employees as best they could. They did what was right and good. They had integrity, and they had an attitude of, "I'm doing this for Jesus." And so when you become retired, hopefully you'll continue with that attitude. Because remember, the great commandment to love the Lord your God doesn't say love the Lord your God until you're 65. And the great commission of Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations does not say go and make disciples of all nations until you're 65. These commandments continue till the end of life. And if we've been serving in the workplace, hopefully we'll continue to serve when we're not in the workplace anymore. And we'll find our worth in that service. Not in our handicap in golf. Not in the fact that we can get out the telegraph cryptic crossword. But we'll find our worth in being able to continue serving at a stage in our lives when we have hopefully still got fitness and a wealth of life experience to offer. We can serve our children or our grandchildren, as we've said. Maybe we may still have very aged parents. We can offer our skills in the voluntary sector. We may, in a sense, be almost in our prime. Maybe we're not quite in our prime physically, but we've got the fruit of our lives, which we can offer free of charge. The retired person has a life of wisdom. The retired person has a life of knowledge, a life of experience, has gifts and abilities that they have developed through life. The retired person has experience that would enable them to mentor younger people. The retired person has had a commitment to the workplace and can bring that commitment to a new sphere of service. the retired person, can lead because they know how to do things that younger people haven't yet learned how to do. And the retired person has time and availability. The retired person can teach, can serve. The retired person can pray. The retired person can volunteer even to go abroad in missionary service. I'm sure that's what Paul would say. Verse 22, if I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Do you mean, Paul, after those years in prison, after all the horrible hardships you've suffered, with that poor eyesight where you can hardly see the finger held out in front of you, do you mean, Paul, you're going to still go on serving and serving? Yes. That's for sure, says Paul. That's what I'll do. Verse 25. I know I will remain. I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. Think of Anna. We read about in Luke chapter 2, a widow, until she was 84, it says. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. That was a great way to spend retirement for Anna. Serving God night and day in prayer. What a great thing that can be. Retired people, I've known retired people who just spend hours in prayer. And what a difference that makes as God hears and answers their prayers. And who also mentor younger Christians, who encourage them. How wonderful that is. How truly wonderful. Paul describes in 1 Timothy 5 two retirees, both women. 1 Timothy 5 verse 5, he says, the widow, who is really in need and left all alone, puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. Well, there's a woman who commits herself to God and in her service to God, calls on him night and day. But then he says, the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. That's someone who, if you like, retires and thinks, right, now it's time for me to do what I want. If I'm to go on living the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. What a positive thing retirement can be. Not in the sense of unlimited leisure, but because you are freer to give yourself to others, to serve Jesus Christ. Now, of course, there may be issues related to the fact that you're much older. And we'll think about that, God willing, in a couple of weeks' time. But for many people, the attitude is that you should spell retirement RETYREMENT. Just like a car gets a new set of tyres and off it goes again. So, retirement, for many people, is just like getting a new set of tyres. And it's a chance to just go on and on, serving, fruitful labour for Jesus at a time in your life when you've got the availability, you've got the financial freedom, and you've got the wealth of life's experience to offer to Jesus Christ. So my friends, I hope that we can all see it as a positive thing. As something that is a God-given time provided for by our national insurance, by our pension, in which we can offer ourselves afresh to others and to God and continue to do fruitful labour that may not draw a wage at the end of the month or the end of the week, but will certainly have a reward in the glory of God's kingdom. May God bless each of us at all stages in our lives then to produce fruitful labour.